Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Inshallah. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah, today is the second class in the series of the classes which has the title The Greatest Man in History, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn the biography of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our role model in all our sayings and actions. In the first class, we already learned that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born an orphan, as his father died while his mother was 6 months pregnant. And so his grandfather became his guardian. His mother was very sad to lose her husband, who was just 18 years old and who died before seeing his baby Muhammad. Like many other women in Mecca, Amina, Muhammad's mother, decided to send her son away from the city for his early years to the desert, where it was more healthy. So actually this was the culture at that time of the Arabs, to send the babies to the desert to live with a nursing mother to take care of him, so that he will grow up in the healthy weather, and then he will return back by the age of 3 or 4 to his mother. Muhammad, actually now we will learn that Prophet Muhammad, or I will say Muhammad until he will be a prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a blessing for his nursing mother. It was the culture that the women from the desert will come to Mecca to collect new babies and would keep them with them in the desert healthy weather and take care of them until they are strong children, age 3 to 5. For this care, they were paid by the parents. To take care of the babies, those nursing women, they were paid by the parents, especially by the father. But if the baby was an orphan like Muhammad, so no one would agree to take him. Even though he was from the most noble family in the tribe, because there is no father to pay a lot for the nursing mother. Halima, a Bedouin woman, was one of these nursing mothers. She took Muhammad as she didn't find any other baby to bring up. She and her husband were having their own baby at the same time, and they were very poor. As Halima and her family started the journey back to the desert, having the orphan Muhammad with her, she noticed that her milk suddenly increased, and she had enough milk for Muhammad as well as her baby son. She was nursing her baby, and she was worried that her milk will not be enough for both of them, but she noted that her milk suddenly increased. When they were back home, everything began to change. The land became green. The date trees, one of their main sources of food, gave lots of fruits. Even the sheep and their old she-camel began to give plenty of milk. Halima and her husband, they knew that this good fortune had come because they had the new baby, the orphan Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom they had come to love as if he were their own son. Actually, they loved him a lot because he was a blessing to them. Muhammad stayed with Halima's family until the age of 3. When Halima took him back to his mother, he was a healthy, strong boy. Now we will learn about the orphan's childhood. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to live with his mother Amina until the age of 6. When she decided to take him to visit his uncles, her family, in Yathrib. Yathrib became later on known as Al-Madinah. At that time, it was still called Yathrib. It is a northern city to Mecca. She told her maid, Baraka, to prepare everything they would need for the long journey, and then they joined one of the caravans going there. Rahamukumullah. Actually, Halim and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi, Amina and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Baraka, they stayed with her family for a month. On their way back from Yathrib to Mecca, Amina, Muhammad's mother, she became ill and died and was buried in the desert. So Muhammad, now the small boy, 6 years old, he returned to Mecca with the maid, Baraka, after losing his mother. So his grandfather is now his guardian. His grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, loved his orphan grandson deeply because he doesn't have parents. And he kept him by his side all the time. He was trying to compensate for the loss of the parents. Abdul Muttalib, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grandfather, he was a famous man. He was actually the chief of the tribe of Quraysh. So he used to sit on a blanket near Al-Kaaba, and he only allowed the small boy Muhammad to sit on the blanket with him, saying, "This boy will be very important one day." After 2 years, when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 8 years old, the grandfather Abdul Muttalib became ill, and Muhammad stayed by him all the time. Then Abdul Muttalib died. So Muhammad lost the source of love and care in his life by the death of his grandfather after the loss of his two parents. Muhammad moved to live, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he moved to live with his uncle, his father's brother, Abu Talib, who already had many children, but his orphan nephew became part of the family and the favorite child. The time came for Quraysh, the tribe, to prepare for a caravan to go to Syria. Abdul Muttalib, Muhammad's uncle, was going with them. So he took Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with him, and it was his first journey to the north, to Syria. There are many stories about Muhammad's youth. Some tell of how he used to take the family's sheep to graze, and he was always kind to them. Other stories are about the fact that he was unlike those around him. He never worshipped idols, he never swore by them, he was never known to drink or gamble. He was mostly a quiet young man, he was always alone, not playing with anyone. As Muhammad was growing, it was his good manners and his good character that attracted all the people around him. His honesty surpassed that of all others, and he was known with the title of Al-Amin, the trustworthy. Okay? So we'll stop here, sisters, regarding the historical facts of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we want to learn some lessons regarding this part of his life. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lost both his parents by the age of 6 years old. That is to say, he grew up missing the tender, loving care of the mother and the support of the father, a lonely child who had moved to live with his old, aged grandfather for 2 years. Then again, he lost the source of love and support and was moved to live with him as a member of the big family of his uncle Abu Talib. This means that the source of love and support was always lost for Prophet Muhammad as a child. Okay? He was never having a continuous source of support and love in his life. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Also, he doesn't have the feeling of the belonging, either to the parents or to the grandfather, or to any human being. He was always disconnected from the source of love and the source of care, a fact which directs the spirit to be connected with a source of love, guidance and support which never dies or disappears. You see, sisters, from the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will learn a very important fact, that Allah, the planner, is planning our life in a very delicate way, which we never expect or imagine. And you will learn that fact from the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has an indication. Every event has a meaning. So from these facts you will learn regarding your life that there is nothing happening for you in your life as a luck or as, you know, something which doesn't have a meaning. No, you must believe that everything that is happening in your life, it is according to the plan of Allah, and Allah is preparing you for what will come for you in your life. So be always sure that whatever is happening in your life will have an effect on you in the future. Okay? And Allah is always preparing every one of us for the goal of His creation. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was created to be the last messenger of Allah and the messenger and the prophet who will convey the message of Islam. So he must be connected with the one God, Allah the Almighty. The first human being on the earth to know Allah is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah prepared him in a way that there is no source of love and support in his life ever. He lost his father, then he lost his mother, then he lost his grandfather. Then he became a part of a big family. Okay? So all the time he is missing the feeling of the belonging and the love for someone who never dies. Okay? So this is the divine preparation for the spirit of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to search for that source, the source of love, support and care which never dies and never disappears. Okay? This is number one. And because of that, he was always lonely and he was always going to the desert, looking to the sky, trying to search for the God who and the source of love and the source of care and support which never dies and never disappears. This is number one. Number two, Allah the Almighty, the All-Knower, he blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the best manners, as he was known before being a prophet as the trustworthy. Why? Because number one, when he will become a prophet, he must have good manners so that the people will be excited to learn from him. Because you cannot come close to someone to teach you about a new religion who has bad manners. You will never believe that person. But if that person was always having good manners, so you will try to listen to him. Maybe his message is correct because he was always having good manners. This is number one. And number two, because the message of Islam is the message of the good manners. So he must have good manners so that he can convey the message which has the best manners, the message of Islam. So Allah the Almighty blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with these good manners, the best manners, so that inshallah he will be the best one to convey the message of Islam. Also, if we try to focus on the blessings which Halima, his nursing mother, and her husband, they received when the baby, the orphan baby, was with them, we will learn a lot of lessons. Number one, all the nursing mother, they refused to take Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he doesn't have a father, believing that the provider is the father. So Allah the Almighty taught them that the provider is not the father, the provider is Allah. Because that orphan baby was a blessing for Halima and her family, and she received a lot of blessings while he was there, more than anyone can expect. And this is the proof that the provider is Allah the Almighty. Also, Allah the Almighty made Muhammad as a blessing for Halima so that she will love him and she will take care of him, and so that he will grow as a healthy baby. She will not neglect him because he doesn't have someone to pay a lot of money. Allah blessed her with a lot of blessings so that she will appreciate that baby and she will take care of him. So number three, regarding the lesson from first part of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that there is a message which is being an orphan is not a sign that the future will not be good, and all you will be poor and needy, as you don't have a father to spend on you. or a mother to give you love and care. This is a message for every orphan. Never. It was the story of our orphan prophet who became the greatest man in history. This story is the real proof that Allah is the one who is taking care of us, not our parents. This is an orphan who lost both his parents. He lost his grandfather. Okay, he doesn't have except his uncle, a very small part of a big family. But still Allah made him the best man and the greatest man in history, because this is Allah. Allah can take care of all of us. Allah can take care of the orphan, of the poor, of the needy, of everyone. Allah is the owner of everything. Allah is the creator. Allah is the most wise. Now we will start to move with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age, until he reaches the age of 25. By the time Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was 25 years old, he was famous for his honesty. He was respected by everyone, even the elders of Mecca. The purity of his nature became more clear to everyone. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the finest of his people, the most kind, trustworthy, and reliable person in Mecca. This all characters, he had it before he was, or he became a messenger, or, you know, a prophet. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent many quiet hours in a cave in a mountain Hira. There is a mountain near Mecca called Mountain Hira, and there is a cave there. He spent many quiet times searching for the truth regarding the creator of this life. Now we will learn about the respected woman Khadija radiallahu anha. Among Quraysh, this is the tribe of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a respected and wealthy woman named Khadija. She was involved in trade. She was a widow, 40 years old, very rich, very beautiful, highly respected for her good manners and good family. So she had everything regarding a respected woman. Many men wanted to marry her, but none of them suited her. When she heard about Muhammad's reputation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she sent for him and asked him to take her goods to trade in Syria. Okay, to work with her in trading. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he agreed and he left to Syria with one of her caravans. With him went her slave. She sent her slave, Maisara, with him. And they spent a great deal of time talking together. We will learn later why Sayyida or Lady Khadija, we must respect Sayyida Khadija much, sisters, because she had we will learn that she will have a lot of influence regarding supporting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the most difficult time of his message. So we must respect her a lot. And when we call her in Arabic, we say As-Sayyida Zalij, As-Sayyida Khadija. But because the class is in English, so I am using the title Lady. As-Sayyida means, you know, the respectable woman. The respectable, because we cannot just say Khadija, Khadija, Khadija. So we just say As-Sayyida Khadija, the respectable woman. We will learn, inshallah, why she sent her slave with him. Actually, the trading was very successful, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made more profit for As-Sayyida Khadija than she had ever received before. When they arrived back to Mecca, when the caravan arrived back to Mecca, Maisara, the slave of Khadija, Sayyida Khadija, told Sayyida Khadija everything about the trip and what he had noticed about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam character and behavior. So she sent for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a friend with a proposal. Supposing a rich, beautiful, and noble lady agreed to marry you. So, do you agree? So now we are learning that Sayyida Khadija was the one who proposed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will learn a very important lesson. After we will finish to learn about the historical events, we will learn from what is going on in this marriage, a very important lesson, inshallah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to know who that could be. Who is the one who is proposing for him? The friend told him it was a Sayyida Khadija. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy because he greatly respected a Sayyida Khadija. So now we will learn about the marriage of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with his two uncles, Abu Talib and Hamza, to a Sayyida Khadija's uncle and asked his permission to marry her. So the uncle gave his permission, and soon after Muhammad and Khadija, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyida Khadija were married. They were well suited. Actually, regarding the details of this marriage, inshallah, we will learn about it when we will start to learn the book which has the title A Day in the House of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in summary, they were blessed, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyida Khadija, they were blessed with 6 children, 2 sons and 4 daughters. And actually the 2 sons, they died while they were very young. And the 4 daughters, 3 of them died before the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the 4th one, his daughters are Ruqayya, Umm Kalthum, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ruqayya, and Umm Kalthum, Fatima, and Zainab. Okay, Umm Kalthum, Zainab, and Fatima. The 3 daughters, the elder, they died before his death. He left only Fatima. And Fatima, radiyallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, she died 6 months after his death. She was very sad when he was very sick, when he was in the sickness of death. So he told her, Fatima, don't be sad. You will be after me. You will follow me soon. You will be the first one to follow me soon after 6 months. So actually, regarding Asa Khadija, she was his only wife until his death. He didn't marry any other wife while he had a Sayyida Khadija. And she lived with him for 23 years. He didn't marry anyone, and she died at the age of 63 years old, and inshallah we will learn in details about that marriage. But now let us stop and again and learn about the lessons from the marriage, the first marriage, and the most important marriage of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, because actually this is a very important lesson for the Muslims to know about the marriage from the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, the good manners and the good behavior must be the most important quality to look for when you choose your spouse. We are learning that Sayyida Khadija was very rich, and she was from the best family, and she was very beautiful. And there are many men who they proposed to her. But when she had the intention to marry, she was looking for the good manners and the good behavior. Okay? So, sister, this is very important, which every one of us must learn and must believe in. It is not the wealth, it is not the family, it is not, you know, the age even. Okay, it is the manners and the behavior. How my husband will treat me, how my husband will take care of me, what are the values which he will plan our life accordingly, what about his manners. These are the most important facts for any marriage to be successful. Because that marriage, in spite of the fact that she was 15 years older than him, okay, and she was married before him, and she had kids before him, okay, but still the marriage was very successful, and it stayed 23 years old. Okay, why? This is a very important question regarding the marriage of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyida Khadija, because of his good manners and good behavior. And also because she appreciated his good manners and good behavior, so she was all the time caring for him, taking care of him, supporting him. She believed in him. She was the first one to believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger. She was a Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. Why she believed in him? Because she believed in his good manners. Okay, she believed that he is the trustworthy. When she lived with him for some time, she was sure that he is in reality the best man to have the best manners in Quraysh. So she was convinced that he is the best man. Accordingly, when we will learn that he mentioned to her about Angel Jibril and about the revelation of the Quran, she believed in him in a second. She didn't take 1 second to question him. She didn't question him, ask him any question. She told him, I believed in you. Okay. In spite of the fact it is very difficult to believe in another religion without asking 1 question. But when you have this knowledge from, she was having this knowledge from her husband who has the best manners, she believed in him that he is the trustworthy, so she believed in him immediately. And that event supported their marriage. Because when you believe in your husband, okay, this will help him to feel that you are a sincere wife. You are planning to support him. You will not say it is a very difficult mission and I will not be able to take this responsibility with you. Maybe we will be facing a lot of problems and I didn't marry you to be a prophet. I married you as a good person having good manners. But for regarding prophethood, regarding a mission, regarding standing against all the tribe, this is a very big issue, you know. And actually only Allah knows that Allah chose Sayyida Khadija personally for that mission, because she is the one who can support Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as she did, because it was a very difficult time for any wife to be faced with that surprise, which she never expected, that her husband will become a prophet and he will be against all the people. So this is number one. This is the importance of the good manners and the good behavior regarding the quality to look for when you choose your spouse. The second lesson which we are learning from the marriage of Prophet Muhammad and Sayyida Khadija is that she sent her slave to be close to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the traveling. Okay, this is the proof of her wisdom. Why? Because it is always known that the nature, the true nature of the people is always clear during traveling. This is a known statement. If you want to know someone closely, travel with her. Okay, tell her, let us have a trip for 2 days. Okay, not a long trip, but let us have a trip. During the trip, all the clarity of the personality, okay, will be clear. You will know that person exactly. Because maybe I am all the time showing that I am kind, I am nice, I am patient, I am caring. But when we will travel together, because why traveling is the way to know the people when you travel with someone? Because during traveling you are exhausted. You are not putting the mask, okay? It is the nature of most of the human beings that they try to control themselves when they communicate with the people. For example, if now I am having a class, so before coming to the class, I will say to myself, I have a class, I want to be in the best mood, I want to be patient, I want to be tolerant, I want to be kind, I don't want to show the sisters if I am sad or I have a problem, because this is none of their business. Okay, I want them to spend good time with me. But when I travel, okay, I can't keep that mask long time. When I become exhausted, I will start to become nervous. Okay, then my patience will decrease gradually. Then maybe I will become demanding. Nobody knows what will be my real nature except when I am exhausted and I am traveling. Okay? So, Sayyida Khadija, she sent with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam her slave Baraka so that he will observe him closely during the traveling and he will talk with him, would talk with him long time so that he will know his nature exactly. And actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this was a very important point that helped Sayyida Khadija to be sure that in reality he has the best manners, he is the trustworthy, and she planned to marry him after the knowledge or the information she had it from her slave Baraka. Number three, sending a friend to convey her wish to marry Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an indication that women must look for the good husbands, and if they find them, they can send a friend or a relative to make it easy for them to know each other. What is the meaning of this sister? The meaning of this sister is that as we grow up in our culture. Okay, and actually this is a clear proof that we are far away from the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we don't know much about his life. It is known in history that Sayyida Khadija was the one who sent the proposal to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if I look around and I notice that my neighbor, she had a son and he is a good son, he is a very good young man, he has good manners, and I have a daughter and she is also a good girl, so I will say to my neighbor, what do you think regarding your son? Actually, I feel that maybe he will be a good match for my daughter and they can come to know each other. But unfortunately for us as Arabs, this is very bad reputation. What is the meaning of this? If you say to anyone, I am the one who is proposing my daughter to my neighbor's son, everyone will tell you, where is your respect? What are you doing? This is shame on you. Yes, I want to find it. This is shame on you. Okay, and then it will be, this statement will be spread all over Houston. Maybe it will reach Egypt even. I will have a phone call from Egypt at night. My sister is telling me, Mona, what are you doing? You are a crazy woman. Why? Why you are doing all of this? You cannot find someone to marry your daughter? Let her not to marry. But to go and to propose for your daughter, this is very bad for the whole family in Egypt. In spite of the fact I left Egypt 25 years ago, but still, it's very bad for the reputation of the family. Where is the family? Most of the family died already. Still, the reputation is not good for the dead people. You know, sister, this is our mentality culture as Arabs. And this is wrong. And because of that, there are many good young women whom they cannot find good husband. Why? Because, you know, this proposal, you know, the proposal from the family of the girl, okay, or the wife, this proposal from the women's side is not accepted in the community. Okay, in spite of the fact, this is what happened with our Prophet. And it was the most successful marriage. Okay, and everyone knows how Sayyida Khadija was very clever and was very wise to choose Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for her marriage.
At that time, was it accepted or was it something that was frowned upon even at that time?
Nobody knows. Nobody discussed this point. It was going on or not. But I want to tell you that after that happened, okay, most of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were doing the same, because you know, for example, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he went and he asked, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he went and he asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry one of his daughters, and he married Hafsa. Okay, it was always, you know, that the father will propose for his daughter. Okay, because they followed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But by time, okay, we forget about it. We forget about this. But again, you know, sister, this fact was mentioned in the Holy Quran with the story of Prophet Moses. Prophet Moses, he married in the same way. You know, so we must know these facts as Muslims, so that, you know, you can go and say, I will ask, you know, my neighbor for her son. Okay? So if someone will tell me, shame on you, I will tell her, shame on you. I am very sorry. Because you don't know the story of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how we must teach each other, okay, about the facts of our history. This is the life of our Prophet. I will tell her, if I follow the sunnah, okay, the shame will be on the others, not on me. Okay? And also, it is mentioned in the Holy Quran about Prophet Musa, how Prophet Musa married his wife, whom she went back with him when the revelation was sent for him also by Allah. It was with the same way. The father, we will recite now from the Holy Quran so that we will have also the proof from the Holy Quran. The father of the girl proposed to Prophet Musa, and Prophet Musa agreed. Okay? So we must learn these facts, sister, and we must mention it to everyone, because nowadays the marriage as a project is not successful. Okay, because inshallah now we will have the proof from the Holy Quran. It was also the same for Prophet Musa sallallahu that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that the father of his wife was the one who proposed to him to marry his daughter. So that we will know that it happened with two prophets, with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with Prophet Musa, in order to know about these facts from the Holy Quran regarding the marriage of Prophet Musa, we will recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim from Surah Al-Qasas. We will recite the whole story of the of Prophet Musa. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We will start from verse number Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim 15, from Surah number 28, from verse 15 to verse 28, so that we will know the whole story regarding the marriage of Prophet Musa.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ودخل المدينة على حين غفلة من أهلها فوجد فيها رجلين يقتتلان هذا من شيعته وهذا من عدوه فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته على الذي من عدوه فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه قال هذا من عمل الشيطان إنه عدو مضل مبين.
صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحيم. And he entered the city at a time of inattention by its people, and found therein two men fighting, one from his faction and one from among his enemy. And the one from his faction called for help to him against the one from his enemy. So Moses struck him and killed him. And Moses said, this is from the work of Satan. Indeed, he is the manifest misleading enemy. He said, my Lord, indeed, I have wronged myself, so forgive me. And he forgave him. Indeed, he is the forgiving, the merciful. He said, my Lord, for the favor you bestowed upon me, I will never be an assistant to the criminals. And he became inside the city fearful and anticipating exposure, when suddenly the one who sought his help the previous day cried out to him once again. Moses said to him, indeed, you are an evident, persistent deviator. And when he wanted to strike the one who was an enemy to both of them, he said, O Moses, do you intend to kill me as you killed someone yesterday? You only want to be a tyrant in the land and do not want to be of the amenders. And a man came from the farthest end of the city running. He said, O Moses, indeed, the imminent ones are conferring over you, intending to kill you. So leave the city. Indeed, I am to you of the sincere advisers. So he left it fearful and anticipating apprehension. He said, my Lord, save me from the wrongdoing people. And when he directed himself toward Midian, he said, perhaps my Lord will guide me to a sound way. And when he came to the water, to the well of Midian, he found there a crowd of people watering their flocks. And he found aside from them two women holding back their flocks. He said, what is your circumstance? They said, we do not water until the shepherds dispatch their flocks, and our father is an old man. So he watered their flocks for them, and he went back to the shade and said, My Lord, indeed I am for whatever good you would send down to me indeed. Then one of the two women came to him walking with shyness. She said, Indeed, my father invites you that he may reward you for having watered for us. So when he came to him and related to him the story, he said, Fear not, you have escaped from the wrongdoing people. One of the women said, Oh, my father, hire him. Indeed, the best one you can hire is the strong and the trustworthy. He said, Indeed, I wish to wed you, one of these, my two daughters, on the condition that you serve me for 8 years. But if you complete 10, it would be as a favor from you. And I do not wish to put you in difficulty. You will find me, if Allah wills, from among the righteous. Moses said, That is established between me and you. Whichever of the two terms I complete, there is no injustice to me. And Allah over what he says is witness.
So actually, sisters, again, it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, in verse number 27 from Surah 28, that the father of the two girls, he said to Prophet Musa, Indeed, I wish to wed you one of these, my two daughters. Okay, and actually it was on the basis of the fact that he is trustworthy and he has good manners. So again, in spite of the fact he escaped his people and he was lonely and he was poor, but because of his good manners, the father of the two girls decided to propose to him, to ask him to marry one of his daughters because of his good manners. This is the same story which happened with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he was not escaping, but he was having the good manners and he was the best man in Mecca, and because of his good manners, Sayyida Khadija, she decided to propose to him and she married him on the basis of the good manners and the good behavior, which is the most important quality to look for when you choose a spouse. So these are the facts regarding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also Prophet Musa. And let us return again to the story of the marriage of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is actually the fact that in spite of the age difference between the wife, who was 40 years old, and the husband, who was 25 years old, that is to say she was older than him by 15 years old, but they lived a good life and they had 6 children, and he never married while she was alive because of the good manners and the good behavior. This was the most successful marriage, and inshallah we will continue to learn about the life and biography of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam next week, and let us make the dua inshallah. رحيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Inshallah.